You're here tonight. We need you, Lord. We need you. I'm just a man, Father, and you know that, and I can only do so much. And I pray for your presence, and I pray for your blessing. And I pray that you give me wisdom tonight now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And verse number 1. Brother McDonald was talking about the other night, his dad would read Luke chapter number 2, and that his dad, and I knew his dad was a tough man, had a hard job, he was a plumber. Plumbing's not easy work, but when he got saved, God gave him a place in his heart, a softness for the Lord Jesus, and when he would read Luke about the crucifixion, he'd cry, he'd weep, and that's, you know, that's reality when you meet the Lord. He changes your life. Amen. And I knew Gene McDonald, and I had great respect for him. It says in verse number 1, and it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. This way they knew they were on the rolls, the tax rolls. This way they could check and make sure who they were and, you know, get the taxes. I don't know if he's a Democrat or Republican. Look at it there. But the bottom line is these politicians today taxing, it's nothing new. They've been taxing a long time. And, of course, if you want to go back in history and read what goes on in history, you'll find out that a foreign power will come in, overthrow a country, and then they'll force tribute. In other words, they'll have to pay to that foreign power I guess you might say, just simply for them to keep their armies at bay. Father, bless your word now. Amen. All right. Now, the other night, Sunday night, we had the candlelight service, and I had asked four people to give a testimony about their life at Christmas time as children, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I don't know how you all felt about that, but I think it's wonderful. It adds a touch to Christmas that we need. If you get on television, you'll hear them say, happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays. I turn them off so fast you can feel the vacuum. If you can't put Christmas in it, forget it. I don't want to hear it. Well, you say, I might offend somebody. Offend them. But anyway, I thought tonight, since next Wednesday night, we're not going to be having service. It's Christmas Eve, and so we let you be with your families. And if you want an opportunity to speak, it would be tonight, because this coming Sunday night is the play. And the kids have been practicing, and they've been working hard for it, and it'll be a good play. And I encourage you to come be at the play this coming Sunday night. I'll be preaching Sunday morning, and Lord willing, if I'm still here, if I'm not here, well, we'll be gone. Amen. I hope you're not here. If I'm not here, I hope you're not here. Amen. But tonight I give you an opportunity to do something. If the Lord stirs you, there may be something in your life that may help someone. There's nothing like practical application of things. I grew up in Knoxville. I was born in the old General Hospital on Central, right down from Sears. How many remember the old General Hospital? If you do, you've been here a while. And that's where I was born. September the 17th, 1946, I showed up. My father was a World War II veteran. He fought in Europe. And my wife's father was also a World War II veteran. He about had his arm blown off by artillery during World War II. So we were both the children of veterans and grew up in Knoxville. I remember going down to Gay Street, and Christmas time was the busiest time of the year. There were no shopping centers back then, not like today. Gay Street is where you went if you shopped, and the streets were full of people. The KTL buses was what they called them then, Knoxville Transit Lines. They were old buses, probably built back in the 30s or 40s, and they had bus stops all along Gay Street, and you could easily tell where a bus stop was. There'd be a bunch of people gathered together. And so they did their shopping, and they carried their gifts aboard the bus, and they went to the various places and went home. I remember one time when I went downtown on Gay Street, the front of the window, I forget what you call that, of the business, but anyway, they had a HO scale train. Now, some of you know what that is. Trains come in different scales. Scale represents its relationship to a full-size engine. HO was a popular size, but I remember every Christmas time, they would put that in the window and they'd build a scene, and the train would come out over here, come out like this, and it'd go back into a tunnel. And that fascinated me. I can remember that to this day. Nothing ever that I ever saw as a child moved me as much as a train did. I mean, a train, I don't know why, you can't explain certain things. We're wired different ways. But the train did. It moved me. And so a few years ago, I said to myself, self, I never had a train when I was a boy. I'm going to buy me a train. And it's not an HO scale. And I gave out the lame alibi, or added, it was for my grandchildren. Let them play with it. But they didn't mind me playing too when they were playing with the train. There's just some things that make up your character of who you are. And that's who I was. And I'll never forget the happiness of the faces on Gay Street. And people would walk by you singing Christmas carols. There was a freedom, a happiness, a joyous. It was a joyous time. And it was just the way it was all over the town. And we've lost that. Now, like he's talking about tonight, you've got demons out here driving cars. They run over you. I mean, I don't know what it's descended into. But I remember that. And Christmas time for us was a good time of the year because we got a few things. Now, you remember the box that came from Chicago? How many remember the box? My aunt sent the box down. She bought us clothes. And you remember what my grandfather did with the presents? That he opened them, looked at them, stuck them back under the tree. And I don't know if anybody else had that or not, but that's a memory of mine. So I have fond memories of Christmas time when I was a child. Did I just tell you that because that's the way I grew up? This is where I grew up. Knoxville back then, back in the early 50s, was a small southern town. Back then, Memphis, Tennessee was immensely bigger than Knoxville. Then Nashville was the second largest. And then Knoxville and Chattanooga, back and forth as to which one was the largest between Knoxville and Chattanooga. But now, Nashville, Tennessee, folks, has passed Memphis. Nashville is the fastest growing town in this state, and it is larger than Memphis. And Knoxville's not far behind. How many of you noticed that this place is growing? Amen. And it's growing. And that can be a good thing because it gives us an opportunity to minister to people. So I thank God for that. Many of the good memories that I had and have as a child, they can't be taken away from me. I remember a different world, a different town, a different time. I've lived long enough. I remember it. I remember it. These people come on there and they talk about gun violence. Nobody was killing anybody in the school system back then. Didn't happen. The worst thing ever you'd see out there, I remember one day at Rural High School, they let us out. We walked out and here was this big crowd and these two guys were punching it out. Just going at it, you know, and everybody stood around, let them fight until they got their issues settled. That's about as bad as it got. But nobody was being shot. Nobody was being stabbed to death. And so when they talk to you about gun violence, flush it down the commode. It's not gun violence. It's heart violence. That's right. That's where the problem comes from, the heart. I'm done. Is there anybody in this house tonight that has a fond memory of Christmas where you might help someone else? And we'll give you an opportunity because the other night we couldn't get everybody up, you know. Constraints of time. But if you have something that you'd like to say, you know, just has brief few words, you know. We didn't give you a menu when you came through the door. You don't have to speak any specific length of time. But maybe something special about your childhood. As I remember somebody, who was it, Brother Lee? Somebody, aren't you the one who said you took popcorn? You took popcorn and ran a needle through the popcorn and string and made a, and I remember, we never did do it, but I remember it being done. And stuff like that, kids today, they've never heard of anything like that. Anybody? Yes, ma'am? You need a microphone. People need to hear you. This one here is pretty. Just Everybody get, however many do it, just condense your words, be brief, but come to the point, and people appreciate that. And so we want to give you that opportunity. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. I want to share when I my first Christmas that I ever had was at 6 years old. I was taken away from my family for abuse, and I was neglected and everything in the form. And my first Christmas I remember was with my adopted mom at 6 years old. First time I ever seen a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
First time I ever had a present. And I tell you what, that is a memory that I will never forget as long as I live.
Right.
I thank God for my wife, Sabrina. She's a blessing. When I first met Sabrina, she lived in a VOA and I lived in a hotel. Well, when we met, we got our first apartment together. And we had a two-bedroom apartment. She had a little boy named Shane. And God had brought us together. Even though I wasn't saved, but I called upon God to help me because
Amen.
I went through a bad divorce.
Yeah, yeah.
And I cried out to God to help me.
Yes.
Because I was alone by myself. I worked for daily work, daily pay. And the very next day, I met Sabrina. But the very next day, after I got up at 4 a.m. to go to work, I had a bounce to my step. I had joy in my heart. And after I got off work, I met Sabrina. And to make it short, we invited for our first Christmas together off of Magnolia Avenue, the apartments there. Our first Christmas together, we invited a homeless guy from Vietnam that was in the Vietnam War, and his name was Al, and his Spanish guy named Larry, and we invited them up to our apartment to have Christmas, and God blessed us through where I worked so that we was able to give to them a gift, and God blessed us with us being together
Amen.
And having a family.
Amen.
God is good.
I'm all for doing everything you can for veterans, believe me. Somebody over here raised your hand? Over here, let's bring the microphone over there so they can speak. All right.
My parents divorced when I was 8 years old, and 60-something years ago that didn't happen. So it was traumatic.
That's right.
But before that, the best memory I have, I had to have been five because my little brother wasn't born yet, and we didn't need him, but they thought we did. Anyway, I was the baby. My dad came to us, and he said, "Kids, I want you to go pick out toys that you don't play with anymore. But they better be good. I don't want them broken. I want something." He said, "We're going to do something this year we've never done." My dad had found a family that had, they had four children and a baby and a mom. There was a dad, but somehow the dad, I can't remember the details exactly, but I know that he was, we would call it post-traumatic syndrome. Now he was in the war.
PTSD.
He would wander the streets, and they had nothing.
Yeah.
I picked out my favorite doll, and Mom said, "Now you don't want to do that. And my dad said, "Wait just a minute." I remember this clearly. He said, "If she wants to give that, then she'll give it." Well, we went to this house, and there were these dirty. I remember it. We were so blessed, and they had nothing. They didn't even have heat in their house. Mm. And I remember my dad going back home and telling Mom we were going to go buy blankets, and they went, evidently they took care of him. But I handed this little girl this package because it was wrapped. I knew it was my doll. And I wanted to watch her open it because I wanted her to love it. And she did. Oh, she did. It was awesome.
Oh, boy.
We got back in the car. We went home. Of course, 3 days later, it was Christmas. Now, my Christmas with my father and mother together was unbelievable. Evidently, we had money. I didn't know that, but evidently.
Yeah.
But we had more than anybody. That's a fact. Our living room was covered. And we opened up our Santa things, and I got a new doll.
Oh.
And I don't remember this, but my dad told me much later in life, just before he passed, he told me, he said, "You opened that doll, and you said, 'You're my brand new doll for a whole year. Next year, you'll be somebody else's.'" I'd already decided that was going to be a thing. Now, I don't remember that, but that's
your dad does.
Dad, yeah, and it really touched him. But that was the best Christmas of my whole life.
God gave you a giving heart.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I do have one time. We were very poor, but I didn't know it.
That's the way kids are. They think everybody lives the way they live.
Yeah.
I did.
We were very blessed. But I know that our Christmas didn't come early like everybody else's and under the tree. Our Christmas didn't come until Daddy brought in a box. And I know now that he had gotten it, you know, from the places that give out food for people.
Yeah, they called it the empty stocking fund.
Yes.
We used to go to that with my
and
grandfather.
That's the only
Jacob's
reason
building.
We had what
mm-hmm.
we had.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful.
Oh, yeah.
And now when we do this thing for the stocking, that always makes me think we wouldn't even have had it if not somebody had not had
that's
a
right.
giving
if
heart.
Somebody hadn't given.
Yes.
We did the same thing. We went over there, and at the top we stood in line until we came all the way down to the bottom, and there they gave us the food, and my brother Tim and I could pick out one toy. And that was, we got that because he didn't have anything. My grandfather didn't have any money.
Yeah,
he didn't, and he wasn't on Social Security. Like I said the other night, he was before it. But the goodness, the good heart of people to give out, to give like that.
Right.
And
that
I believe in it.
Time.
I believe in it.
In
yes,
the
sir.
70s, that was a hard time for jobs.
Yes.
A hard time for people in the 70s. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord
Amen.
Has brought me from.
Yes.
And blessed me with.
That's the right attitude to have. Instead of an attitude of condemnation and judgment, the Almighty knows what's going on in the lives of people. Mm-hmm. Just show them mercy and compassion and love.
Right.
God will take care of the rest of it. Yes, amen. All right. Anybody else? If we were talking about a dog fight or a ball game or a hunting trip or a shopping spree or something, surely there's somebody else in here tonight. This opportunity, you know, nobody's in here to jump on anybody. Yes, ma'am, this lady back here.
The Christmas that I remember was, I was 6 years old. My mom and my dad had divorced when I was like 3 years old. And I really didn't know my dad. But we lived with our grandmother. You know, me and my brothers, my grandmother raised us.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget, my dad came to the house with three gifts, one for me, one for my brothers. And he brought me a turntable. I don't know if people know what them are. They play them little 45 records.
Oh, yeah, 45s, yeah.
And I was so tickled to death because I'd never had one, never saw one.
Oh, yeah.
But me and my brothers, we'd sit and we'd play that and stuff. But I'm so thankful that God gave me a God-fearing grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
A loving grandmother that really took us in and basically raised us. My mom was there, but my mom was dealing with depression.
Yeah.
And she would stay off to herself. But I'll never forget that one time when Dad brought me that record player, and I played it for the longest time. I about wore a record out. And, you know, that's something that stuck with me over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And now that I'm raising my granddaughter, I instill in her to always cherish what you have. Take care of it. It'll last you a long time.
Yes.
But, you know, when you get tired of it, give it to someone else because they'll enjoy it.
Yes,
they will. You know, and she has a giving heart. And I'm telling you, I'm just so thankful that God has blessed us with her because it's helped us through a terrible time in our life when we lost our son to an accident.
Yes.
We was raising her. We didn't have time to focus upon our hurt. We had to focus on her because she was only 8 months old. So, you know, it's the way God works. He brings people into your life.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so thankful that God gives us memories that we can look back upon.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that helps build character, what you're talking about. Yes, 45. How many of you know what she's talking about, a 45 record? You know, not that big. Then the 33 and a third. And then all 8 tracks that they had in the cars. Now, finally, it's all digital. Oh, anybody else?
A Christmas that is going to mean a lot to me is going to be this Christmas. I grew up in Knoxville with my family here and grew up in church. And I got off away from church and walked away from the Lord for years. And I've just been back in Knoxville for a month now, but when I lived up in Ohio, I discovered you on YouTube. And I used to listen to you every night. I would log on to YouTube and catch up on sermons that you had preached. And the Lord had put it in my heart to just pray that he would open up a door for me to come back to Knoxville and be with my family.
Amen.
And last month, all that did come to fruition.
Amen.
And I've got a house here in Knoxville now, and I live here now, and I go to church with them on Sunday mornings. But on Sundays nights and Wednesday nights, I've been trying to come here.
Amen.
Because I redeveloped my relationship with Christ while I was up in Ohio.
Yeah.
And this Christmas is going to mean a lot to me because I haven't lived here with my family in years, but we're all serving the Lord together
That's
now.
That's good. That's good. I've met a lot of good people from Ohio, a bunch of them, good churches up in there. But it's always good to come home, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Or anybody else? I've never seen such a quiet bunch in my life. Have you, brother? And you beats all. All right. Yes, ma'am. Would you let her have that? Your mic is either off or the battery's dead. Just a moment.
Okay. I don't remember a specific gift I ever got as a child at Christmas, but I remember the gatherings at my grandmother and grandfather's house. And when Preacher Lawson talked about his aunt sending a box, it reminded me of my aunts, my mom's sisters, and their generosity. And my mom come from a family of 12. My mom and dad were married when they were very, very young. And it was a difficult life, but I guess everybody had a difficult life. And but I thank God for my grandmother and her generosity and my aunts. And that's what Christmas is to me, the love they show.
Amen. How many of you in here tonight, your grandparents had a big part of you growing up? Look at that. Good night. And you, great grandparent, yeah. So what does that mean? Well, grandparents are important. That's what it means. All right. Anybody else? Back on the back row back there, Brother Weiser. Now, he's another one that grew up here in Knoxville.
Happy Holler.
Happy Holler. How many know where Happy Holler is? Well, good.
My last 15 years on the police department, I worked homicide. And every Thanksgiving and Christmas, we had murders and suicides. And one Thanksgiving Eve, I worked 6 suicides and 2 murders.
Boy.
One Christmas, over on Lawson Street, an old gentleman walked down the steps and blowed his brains out. 2 little girls over there crying, and one of them said, "Poor Papaw couldn't ever do nothing right. Now he's done with and messed up Christmas dinner." So Christmas is, and Thanksgiving is, a good season, but there's a lot of misery out
here. Yes, there is.
In this city.
Yes, there is. Yes, sir, brother. There is. This is a hard time of the year for a lot of people. Yes. Yes. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Get the microphone over to her.
I was raised by a single parent also. My dad walked off when I was 4, and we lived in an apartment house down here on Hinton Street, right off Central. And there was a lot of times we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. But my poor little mom, she would always work and make sure that at Christmas time we had something under our tree. It might be something small, but we had something. And we were taught to always be humble and thankful, no matter what we got, how big or how small it was. And I guess that's why I miss my mom so much, because of everything that she taught me has made me a better person growing up.
Yes, yes. And that sticks with you. All right, yes. My wife would, she's not a big talker, but her mother would get up early in the morning and go down to the bus stop down on Oak Ridge Highway and wait for the bus, get on the bus and go to Levi Strauss. And she'd work all day long with piece, sewing piecemeal. She got paid by the piece. Making a difference how long she was there, she had to produce. And when she finished with that, she came home to a house full of children and she had to feed them. She had to take care of them, and she did. They never went hungry, and she, at Christmas time, she always managed to have something there for them. I've said it many times. I know a lot of people that can stretch a dollar bill, but she can stretch one further than anybody I've ever seen. I mean, you know what that means. She worked. She loved her kids, and believe me, her kids love her to this day. And I was cleaning the other day. I was down the basement cleaning some stuff out. And a card fell out on the floor, and I thought, what's this? I picked it up, and that card was addressed to my favorite son-in-law from Edna Goyne. I'd forgotten long ago I had that card. Buddy, you better believe I grabbed that card up, and it's in a safe place, and I know where it is now. I love and respect that woman. You better believe it. They don't come any better. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
When I first came here.
Somebody get the mic. Who's got the mic? Let her have the mic so people can hear it.
When I first came here, I sat with her, and she was always so sweet to me. And she told me, she said, if you get involved, you'll stay in church.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Right.
Many years later.
Yes.
But she was a wonderful, wonderful,
oh, yeah,
loving person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She really left a mark on me.
Yes. Yes. And I appreciate those scriptures that you send me daily. Mm-hmm. The Word of God, because nothing stronger than that. Nothing. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Aren't you glad that God put certain people in your life that you are so glad that you knew them, that you had them, they were part of your life? And then you suffer the ones who are stuck in your life sometimes and wish you'd never seen them before. That's the way life goes, folks. That's just the way it is. Everybody's not the same. All right. Anybody else? I've enjoyed this. It's a very instructive thing. Yeah. Like they said a moment ago, I thought all kids grew up the way we grew up. Because kids don't know anything. So I thought they were all just like us. All right. Somebody else over here? Yes.
I really enjoy Christmas because of my mom. And just hearing a bunch of old heads talk about how they don't remember gifts, and I don't really either. I remember my mom, she would always have stuff under the tree for us. We didn't have a whole lot of money growing up. Grew up in a broken home, alcoholic father. No matter how my mom felt, there was always food on the table that was prepared, something under the tree, and she always made it fun and enjoyable. Yeah. Always had a laundry list of who's going to open up the next gift and try to make it enjoyable. And I remember the enjoyment and how it brings people together, and I try to do that in my family. And the Lord's blessed me to be a father of an 8-year-old boy, and I'm trying to instill that into him.
Yeah.
So I just want to pray for all the mothers out there that are still fighting. My mom fought long and hard, and this will be the third Christmas I don't have with her. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen. But you've got fond memories, good memories. Yes. And nobody can take that away from you.
The only gift I remember is having a pair of Hot Wheels shoes that lit up and had wheels on the side. That's probably the only gift I ever remember having. I thought I was cool when I was young.
All right. Anybody else? This is good. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying it. You don't listen, folks, you'll never hear this on CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the rest of them. You'll never hear this. All right. Yeah, that's something. Am I missing one? Yes, sir. Take it over to him.
I guess this story is kind of funny to me, but as you can tell, a lot of folks came from broken homes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
My parents divorced when I was four. But I do remember the last time our family had Christmas together at my grandma's up in Twist, Washington. I was 6 years old, and grandma, she was on a fixed income, and grandpa had left her, I think, by that time. And she used to give us a check, $10 a piece, to each of the grandkids. And it's funny to me now because my older cousin, which he was 10, they had a little bit of money, and so he kind of snuffed his nose at the $10 check. And I didn't like that. And so later, after Christmas was over, out in the front yard, I wound up beating my cousin up in the front yard for snuffing his nose up at my grandmother. And she was special to all of us. And so I didn't like the fact it did that. So I remember beating my cousin up, and that was... That's a nice Christmas story for you. So, anyway, Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah, we lived on Beaumont. And, boy, I'm telling you right now, it's Beaumont's still there. The house is still standing there that I lived in when I went to rural high school. It's still there. When you grow up a place like I can drive all over this town, folks, and I can see this, and it brings back a memory. I can see that, it brings back a memory. Here. I've been here for almost 80 years, except for 4 years off in the military. So I know this place, and it brings back a lot of memories. And when God called me to preach, he called me to preach this book, and every one of you probably in this house tonight have been touched, affected in one way or another by alcohol. It destroyed my mother, and it destroyed my father. Yeah, destroyed both of them. That's why we preach. There's a better way. There's faith, there's hope, there's power, and God can do something for your life in it. All right, anybody else? Well, it's been good. We used to go downtown. I don't know I remember this, and we'd go downtown, stand and watch the Christmas parade. You know that, don't you, brother? Oh, yeah, we never missed the Christmas parade because... Well, when the fair came through back then, folks, out here at Chet Highway Park, that was a big deal. The fair 60 years ago was a big deal in Knoxville. Everybody in Knoxville went to the fair because we didn't have all the stuff they've got today. Things are different. But you know some things that don't change? That just don't change. That's the Lord. Amen. I wouldn't give him up tonight. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, sir. I've got that book. I love that book. I love the God of that book. I love my Lord Jesus Christ. He saved my soul. He accepted me just as I was. And he began a work of grace in my life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he began to form Christ in me, you know, and do all that God does. But salvation is a marvelous, wonderful thing. There's no way to put it in words. It's just something that you have to know yourself. And thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Alcohol, thank God, alcohol didn't destroy my life. It could have, because, I mean, it's in my genes, believe me. On both sides, but it did, thank God for the grace of God. When he came to me in 1973, when I was 27 years old, it didn't destroy my life. Thank the Lord. All right, amen. Anybody else? First call, second call, third call, that's it. All right, well, we gave you an opportunity. And you don't have to stand up and speak. I know some folks, you know, they don't like to get up publicly and speak. That's fine, that's all right. But I've enjoyed it. This is the first Christmas we've really done this that I can remember. I can't remember back any other time we've done it. So, you know, you can remember the testimony of the people, and we respect them for it. And maybe when you're thinking, you know, sometime you see them, you can say, you know, that meant something to me, what you said, and relate to each other like that. And that's what fellowship is about. You see, fellowship is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. We don't fellowship over our buildings. We don't fellowship because we're Baptist. We don't fellowship because of the achievements we've made. We fellowship over a person, the Son of God. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. I firmly believe in that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to rub me the wrong way, you start excluding certain people and say, you don't, you know, you're not good enough for us, or we're a different type church than that. No, sir, that door is open for anybody who wants to come in here. You're welcome. Christ died for all men. I don't care what color person is when they come to that door. I don't care what their race, their nationality, ethnicity, or whatever you want to call it. The doors are wide open. The foot of the cross is level. That's the most level place on earth. Amen. Yes. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time in the house. I pray that you'd bless what's been said. It's blessed me, Lord. I can relate to a lot of the things, my Heavenly Father. And it makes us look at ourselves and makes us say to ourselves, well, we're not really victims. You've been good to us. You've blessed us. I know where you brought me from. I know what you did in my life. And Lord, that's why I preach the way I do, because I know what you can do for someone else. What you did for me, you can do for them. And we bless you. In Jesus' righteous name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we want to take some, if you have a special prayer request tonight, and then Brother O'Melanick's going to sing for us here in a minute. And let him come up. Yes, ma'am.